been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcast, if the app works, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Facebook. Where else could we be streaming this show? Honestly, there's so many places, but we're all over the place. We're happy you guys are with us. What a game on Sunday, but hey, it is finally fall. I've got my special flannel and football candle here I got from Michaels. It smells like winning. That's what it smells like, winning. And what a game we're going to talk about that happened this past Sunday. Joining me, as always, talk all about it. Josh, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm great, man. I'm happy that we were both wrong. I mean, we were like doom and gloom. No way do we see them. They're going to catch a big L. And could you blame us, though? And then this happens. Got to love this team, man. Wow. I mean, I don't even know where to start, but let me just tell you this. Their first two games, primetime, have been nothing but thrillers. Yeah, probably the game of the week both in. I mean, in week two, had some doozies. Like, the Vikings-Cardinals game was ridiculously crazy. The Titans' overtime win against Seattle was crazy, too. Derrick Henry ran off. Seriously, you could really make a case for the Ravens have the game of the week, probably both games of the year.
Yeah.
Wow. Where do we start? What a huge game. What a huge win. Holy moly.
let's start before the game. Let's not even get into the game yet. This is going to be a long show, so buckle in, everybody. But I wanted to know what it was like to be at the stadium, what it was like to tailgate beforehand. I mean, like you said, the last show, you haven't been able to sit in your seats for 2 years now, your normal seats. What was that experience like? Because watching it on television, it just looked like it was absolutely electric.
Where do I begin on that, Brandon? We got down there early because we knew traffic was going to be insane, because it wasn't like, you know, with the 1 o'clock games, the hardcore guys get up and they're down there by like 7:30.
Yeah, they're crazy.
Everybody don't start rolling in until like 9:30 to get down there. We got down there in plenty of time, got down there. We left at 3, got down there, parked. And we're in the tailgate lot after 4 o'clock. So we were excited about that. The weather was beautiful. I mean, clear blue skies, you know, low 80s, I think, upper 70s, low 80s. I mean, kickoff was, you know, perfect. You know, end of summer, early fall night was great. Atmosphere was great. Everybody was, you just seen the lots full, you know, people tailgating again. You see familiar faces. I saw faces tailgating in the same people that I've seen for years. And it was just great to, you know, get a chance to get to talk to them again, to see the grills, you know, on fire, ready to go, you know, to smell the food in the air, you know, everybody getting together, cornholes are going, people throwing footballs, washers, you know, and then Jimmy's had their tailgate back in full force across the parking lot where I was at in Lot H. So the experience, the atmosphere was awesome. You've seen a handful of Chiefs fans walk in the streets here and there. Now I kind of mix it up with them. I was joking to a Chiefs fan even pregame. He was wearing a Mahomes jersey. God bless him for service. I learned that he's in the military. I was joking with him. Same thing. I was like, Ravens don't have a chance. I mean, you guys are going to wax the floor with us. He's like, come on, man. And I'm like, no, like still pregame. I'm like, and again, you can't blame us how we felt after Monday night. I mean, come on, guys. But you know, he mentioned that he was a Kansas City resident, born and raised, but he moved to Maryland due to the service. He's in the military. He said he met his wife here, has his wife and kids in Baltimore, but he's a Chiefs fan through and through. So we got to talking in the pregame in the stadium, but just the fanfare, man, just walking to the stadium's lit up, the tailgate lots were full. It was, I mean, it was full force, and pregame was amazing. I mean, just to get back to it, you know, everybody getting in the stadium, you know, getting back to, you know, football, you seem to, you know, we get in and I'm like, it was a buzz, and you're getting in your seats, and we walk to the stands, and it's just like, finally, like, this is it. And then seeing all the familiar faces, the season tickets, were high-fiving everybody, hugs going around, and we're catching up.
Yeah.
You know, we got in there about 40 minutes for kickoff, and we're like, how you been, man? What's new? You know, people getting married, people have kids, people, you know, unfortunately, families sometimes have passed away. Like, there's been all these life changes, and we're just catching up and doing life together. And then, you know, obviously there's a football game to be watched, but yeah, it was fantastic. Where do I even start? I mean, obviously my dad went with me to the football game, so that was a cherishable experience, to say the least, to get to experience not only that first game went back with him, but the way the game was incredible. I mean, we have a lot to unpack here about the experience, but pregame, I don't know what's changed. I don't know if it's the fact that we've less is more because we haven't been there in so long. There could have been maybe, you know, how the Ravens put out those hype videos, right? The chapters and all that. Sure, yeah. And everybody kept clamoring on Sunday morning. My group was like, where's the hype video? Where's the hype video? I'm like, it's coming. Maybe it'll come. And it did. And then with the way they unpacked everything in the pregame, I think that's probably why they hit it, right? It's probably why they didn't do it. But what a tribute. Obviously, you know, the late great actor, Mr. Williams, and he played Omar on The Wire. They let out with his whistling.
I saw that clip, like, after they did it live. Of course, they put it up on Instagram. What a beautiful tribute. I mean, he has meant so much to Baltimore.
Yep.
We know that The Wire, it was filmed in Baltimore. It was about Baltimore. He had such a huge impact.
And he was at the Jimmy tailgate a few years back, too, with Ed Reed. So that was a big one.
Yeah, he hasn't been somebody who, like, filmed here and then left. You know,
no, he's always been a part of it,
kept coming back. And what a tribute to him. I thought that was,
and he was one of my favorite actors. So rest in peace, man. And that was a great tribute. And then just the you know, how now with the new lighting and everything, the special effects, it's more like the rock star entrance with, you know, the night games. And, you know, the Ravens are blessed that their first two games at home are primetime. So it's like, so we get this again in a month when we play the Colts on Monday Night Football and get to showcase that. But the pregame was just electric, and I took video of it. And obviously the Ravens had their montage on that. By the way, where do we even start? I have to give a shout out to the Ravens production crew. When they put these videos together, dude, just bow down to them. They're second to none. I mean, no, really. Wow.
I'm not going to bow down. I'm going to say, hire me, please.
That's right. See, there you go. Hire Brandon. He's great. He does our show, The Call. Come on, everybody. And no, I did not know Ray Lewis was going to be there, because as soon as it happened, right before kickoff, my phone blew up and like, you didn't tell me Ray was going to be there. I'm like I knew, like, hello. And if I did know, I would have probably said something. So when I heard Hall of Famer, didn't know. And when I saw him come out of the tunnel, I absolutely lost it. I was like, Ray. And I'm like trying to find the video real quick and like video him doing his dance again. And then just the nostalgia of like, remembering the atmosphere of the last time he actually did that dance, like, for real.
Right.
And like, I know he's been out there several times, obviously, for like the, you know, Hall of Fame honor and all that, but what a way to kick that started. I mean, not only like the pregame festivities, but like to have him come out at the end. I don't know how the Ravens did it, but I mean, hey, you know me, I'm Mr. Ray Lewis around here, and I didn't know. So and no one leaked it. So no one, like, you know, some, even if I don't know, whether you find out or somebody else, somebody usually leaks it and go, hey, this might happen.
Right.
I heard no rumor. So how they kept this under wraps, kudos to anybody involved, because I don't know if you've heard a leak, but did not know Ray Lewis was going to be part of that. Not even in town. I don't know what that's about, but that's awesome.
I think it's funny, though, because if you listen to our show last week, you and I were saying, this defense is missing a guy like Ray Lewis to get everybody pumped up, to get everybody on the same page. And I made a joke to my girlfriend, and I was like, hey, somebody must listen to The Call at the Ravens, because they knew too. We need to get Ray Lewis here for that first game up against the Chiefs. We need Ray Lewis there to do their thing, because, hey, we saw it, so of course they saw it too.
Oh, absolutely, man. And I mean, what a way. I mean, what a way, not only
Patrick,
like,
Mahomes, pumped, Patrick Mahomes was going nuts. Yeah.
Well, I saw the reaction, because, like, obviously I record all the games I go to for the home games. So, and then of course, like, as the dust settles down, like, I did that because I get home and I'm wired. Right. So I stayed up for like another hour or so, and then I seen the reaction. He was like, you know, he was pumped, and then it just and that's great because like Mahomes is the new generation, right? Him and Lamar, you know, these guys didn't play either against him or with him. So like to see like Lamar and all that, I mean, I don't know what the Ravens reaction was, or, you know, I know Lamar's probably seen it before, but it's like, you know, to these new generational guys, you know, they don't know what that was like here. You figure when Ray Lewis was in his prime, Mahomes was probably at least a teenager, you know? So to see Mahomes actually get excited for that and was like, hey, like it's Ray. What a way to start it. But then the game starts and, what's going on, man?
Well, hey, before we get into the game,
cool. Sorry.
One last thing about pregame. Did you debut your new look? Like, did you do that? Did you wear your special stuff on Sunday?
I did.
And what was the reaction?
The guys behind us loved it. it was actually great. Long story short on that. There's no time limit on the call. I don't care if it's long or short, but you did warn us it was going to be a packed long show.
Yeah.
My bat suit malfunctioned.
No.
Yeah, because I'm not a billionaire. I don't have a billionaire suit like Batman really does. Yeah, the Velcro strap came undone. And I'm like, what do I do? And I thought about like just cutting it off entirely. But I'm like, no, it needs the straps. And for all those who really know what it's about, you would understand if you've seen the thing up close. But yeah, like, and I didn't find this out until Sunday morning. So I'm like, what do I do? Because my new look was actually a hybrid of the bat suit. Like, be honest, guys, all I did was change my I was basically going to leave the Batman cowl off and change it to a hooded kind of like a bird Ravens mask. Okay. So it wasn't like so I mean, the bat suit would have kept on. So I actually improvised. So I basically just wore like my sleeveless Suggs jersey with it. So it was like a hybrid. I had to create like a hybrid of my suit, but it worked somehow.
Yeah.
But I was like not happy because I was like, oh, new bat suits. Now I got to get on to fix it for the next month before the Monday night game. But I felt weird, but then it was not. But no one really called me out on it. Like, where's the bat? It was weird. No one said, like, where's the suit? So it was like, so it wasn't saying it was missed, but it was like, but I put it on and was like, it was pretty cool. So, yeah. And of course, the game started and we got gun punched. The game starts out with spotting the Chiefs 7 points. How about that? I mean, really, we're all just deflated. We're like, here we go. It's going to be a long night.
That's exactly what I thought. Even commentary said it. You're already putting the Chiefs up 7 points and Mahomes hasn't even gotten on the field yet.
You play your best rival and then you do that. You're like, no. But by the way, after that, I mean, what's the resilience of this team? They just basically took the ball and go 75 yards and score.
Yeah.
And not only that, but they got the lucky break because it could have been disastrous number two again.
Right.
With Tyson Williams fumbling right on the goal line, trying to get it across. The ball pops right up. And the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu, who got the pick six, he was standing right there with like three or four of his Chief teammates. They could easily pick the ball and the ball miraculously, Duvernay had the alert. He had to be so alert that he snatched that ball and it just dove across the goal line before any Chief knew what it was. So after we saw what happened and it happened on the other end, it was kind of like we finally get that lucky break. And then, you know, obviously the Chiefs go up 14-7. So, again, we know how the game goes. It was like trading back and forth. But then Lamar, leading the team down again, throws another interception, triple coverage, costs the team more points. So it's like at that time you're wondering, like, okay, like what is going on with our former MVP here? You know, your second primetime game trying to rise to the occasion and you're making these mistakes that are unbecoming. And he's regressing and you're kind of like all these things and thoughts are going in your head. Like what's going on, guys, what's going on? Because and listening to the breakdown of that game with the announcers after the fact, I heard that kind of like, maybe he was reading the coverage differently. And maybe he thought it was man and they dropped back into a zone and trapped him there. I don't know, but it seemed like to me, it was in no man's land where he threw that ball.
Yeah. The first one where he was throwing it to Sammy Watkins had tripped and I feel like, you know, he should have been where Lamar threw the ball. So maybe Lamar was just a little too excited, wasn't really, you know, paying attention. He was just kind of like locked in of where that ball was going to be at the end. But the Ravens were slipping a lot in this game. So I was a little worried, like, Is it just because the field hasn't been in use for so long? I mean, it hadn't rained in Baltimore, I guess, for a couple days. It rained Thursday or Friday beforehand. So the grass should have been dry. So I was worried for a while. Are the Ravens, you know, are they not wearing the right shoes? What's going on? Because there was a lot of slipping going on at M&T Bank Stadium on Sunday. So I don't know if that's an issue. So as much as I didn't like seeing what Lamar did to start the game, I didn't put all the blame 100% on him because, I mean, Sammy Watkins did trip, he did fall, and he wasn't there to where the ball was going to be. But Lamar also has to pay attention when those things kind of happen and adjust his game.
Right, absolutely. I mean, you really got to cut down on those kind of mistakes, especially costing your team. I mean, you figured in two games, Lamar has four turnovers, yeah, and it's already led to 21 points, you know, and you just got to stop. You just got to stop on that. And the game was a blur. So correct me if I'm wrong, especially since I'm there and I'm immersed to it. Do you recall, and again, I should know this, but again, me being so immersed into the game action, that second interception, did the Chiefs turn that into another seven or did they stall on that drive? Do you remember how that went?
I know it was the Honey Badger. He was the one that got both interceptions.
Second time. Again, my point is if the Chiefs turned into points or not. I kind of want to say they did, but yeah. I don't know. Either – whether they did or not, it's either 21 or 20 points off turnovers. They still got to cut down on the mistakes. But
yeah,
the moral
not,
of the
not
story,
a perfect game, not a perfect no. game, but I mean,
and
still
it doesn't
a win.
Have to be
right.
It doesn't have to be, as we know that. I mean, we can focus on the bad and all that what happened, but what a difference of the offensive line. I mean, you had to go in before we even get to that. You had to go in and already be concerned with the inactives, right? We already knew your buddy Derek Wolf's already out again. We already knew that Jimmy Smith's hurt again. He's out, right. Inactive. But we had a feeling Ronnie Stanley might be because of the did not participate in practice and being limited and all that back and forthness and him being questionable, ultimately leading him to be inactive. With the offensive line already shaky from Monday Night Football, you're already like, oh, great, here we go, right? We lost a multi-million-dollar man, Ronnie Stanley, out again, right? But if you notice, they moved Villanueva from that right spot to the left spot where he's actually supposedly that's his natural spot, right? And the offensive line to me as a whole in this game leaps and bounds way better than Monday Night Football. I mean,
yeah.
I can only count, I think, what, one sack that Lamar took him on Sunday night? Is that right?
Yeah.
Like, and he wasn't under duress all night like he was against the Raiders. So
he had lots of time in the pocket.
He did. So vast improvement. So I certainly applaud the Ravens offensive line for really coming together there. I also applaud Greg Roman for sticking to the running game. The Chiefs had no answer for that, and they didn't get away from that. What did they do, Brandon, on the ground? They took the Chiefs' souls, man. 250 rushing yards as a team, 266 on the Chiefs. I heard a stat, and I'm hoping I saved it. And this is where I want to focus on. The Ravens for two games have 440 rushing yards as a team. The second closest is the Philadelphia Eagles with 336, I think. So right there, there's the identity. The Ravens, I don't care. We talked about this before. Why try to go away from – and again, I know the 32nd ranked passing attack is not going to get it done in a grand scheme of things, right? But – what I found in watching this game and watching it unfold and then watching the recording of the game again, even with the mistakes that Lamar made and with the rushing attack as strong as it was, I felt like Lamar was unleashed. Or Lamar basically sat on that bench and said, enough's enough. I'm doing what it takes. If Lamar's got it, and again, we can have another podcast discussion on if this is long-term success or not. I don't really care at this point. To me, looking at an NFL schedule, I'm not a coach, I'm not a player, I'm a fan, but it's a game-by-game basis. I'm not talking what's going to happen 5 years from now in a handful of like 30, 60, 90 games. I'm talking Lamar's just got a ball out, you know, point blank. Stop worrying about being efficient. I mean, I know that the Saints in week two got destroyed and got exposed, but week one, Jameis Winston was efficient. He threw for 140-something yards and five touchdowns, no picks. He didn't throw for 306 touchdowns. He was efficient with the football passing. And he threw for like less than 20 pass attempts, I think, in that game. It was weird, something weird. But anyway, My point is, Lamar was unleashed, and you have to do what you have to do. If Lamar's really got to run it for 100-plus yards and a rushing touchdown plus each game, so be it, right? You know, let the guy ball out. He's a once-in-generational talent. You've seen what he can do. The media was all over this game, post-game. I've been watching countless, obviously, you know, ESPN talent and NFL Network. Good Morning Football was all over it. How about that jump pass to the touchdown with Marquise Brown? They were saying there's only one quarterback in the league who can make that. It's not Tom Brady. It's not Patrick Mahomes. It's Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Because of athleticism he can bring and just that pure talent, you know, that jump pass and all that. And it's just some of the plays he made and some of the runs he made, he kind of just said, I'm going to put the team on my back and do it. And some of those runs, again, were that Lamar-esque where it was just like he was juking and diving and making it happen, and especially those two rushing touchdowns, especially the one where he went to the pylon. Just think about the speed and athleticism to basically run sideways to kind of outrun at that angle those defenders and to get to the touchdown on that pylon. I mean, he dispelled a lot of the notions there and kind of rising up to the occasion and overcoming the mistakes. Not only that, Brandon, but what did the Ravens do this game that they did not do on Monday night? And they haven't statistically and before have not done well against the Chiefs or any other team. Instead of preserving a lead, they overcame deficits. What was Lamar and the Ravens' MO before that? Oh, when they get down, and that was some of the fans' worry when they went down 7-0 early plus, because right. They were like, the Ravens panic, and then they kind of go away from what works, and then Lamar gets weird, and they panic, and then, you saw it against the Bills in the playoffs. It was like, they're only down one score, and they were, like, coming unglued. I'm like, guys, relax. Like, and the Ravens, even though they were up 14 and had to preserve the lead and lost, they didn't put that pedal to the metal. Not only did the Ravens and Lamar do it once, but twice. They were down double digits in this game twice. And to me, I'm sorry, but when they went back up, the Chiefs, it was 28-24. And when the Chiefs scored, when that long touchdown to that crazy, insane play with Travis Kelce on that little screen pass, by the way, crazy play, insane.
Yeah.
When it was 35-24, I'm like, what more? I didn't say they were done, but I literally looked at my dad, looked at everybody around me, and I'm like, what more do we have to do? I mean, it's like the Ravens just get closer, and then the Chiefs get pulled away. The Ravens get closer, and the Chiefs pull away. And then after that, the Ravens said enough's enough. You know, they scored, 12, 16 unanswered at that point. You know, they scored three more touchdowns. Again, this game was all over the place. You can see why it's just like, where do I go? But it's like, in being there and seeing the back and forth and the ping pong and all that, Brandon, the Ravens overcame all the odds. I mean, you know, there was a lot of firsts that happened Sunday night, but you have to hand it to them. I mean, they basically, I feel like other than the interceptions, the fumbles got corrected. I felt like they righted a lot of the wrongs that happened Monday night. You know, again, we recapped the offensive line. I felt that the secondary was a lot better because remember how Derek Carr, Patrick Mahomes threw for less than Derek Carr did on Monday night against the Ravens. Put that way in perspective. I think Patrick Mahomes threw between 3 and 4 and 3 touchdowns, but I felt like the impact, I mean, they kept the big plays from Tyreek Hill in check. How about that Anthony Averett play on that one crucial third down where he batted away? Tyreek Hill was locked down.
Yeah.
And the Ravens, credit to them, they basically kept safeties over top to help with that. And they basically said, you know what happened with the Browns game? When Mahomes threw it to Tyreek Hill for that long touchdown, and we've seen it before against the Chiefs, right, with the Ravens. Look, and credit to them, it was kind of like pick your poison. They shut down Tyreek Hill, but Travis Kelce had a crazy night. So I'm actually happy that Travis Kelce had the better night than Tyreek Hill. I feel like Travis Kelce is that once-in-a-generational talent. He's going to be probably arguably a future Hall of Famer. He actually is the fastest tight end to 8,000 receiving yards. Kudos to him, man. He's a great talent. Obviously, Mark Andrews getting more involved in the offense a little bit. He didn't catch a touchdown, but again, overall, you have to hand it to the Ravens. I mean, looking at the scoreboard, the Ravens shut out the Chiefs in the fourth quarter when it mattered. The Chiefs scored 0 points in the fourth. The Ravens scored 12. remember, at that point, it was 35-24, and then the Ravens scored the touchdown to get 30-35, missed the two-pointer, and then they scored another touchdown again to go up 36-35, missed the other two-point conversion. So they closed that out with those two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. What a great way. I want to talk about something very important that could have cost them the game, and I want to get your thoughts on this. One of my pet peeves is burning timeouts.
Sure, yeah.
When they burned the two timeouts in the second half, I immediately said, this is going to cost them the game. The way this game was going, you're going to need them at the end. And granted, the Ravens really didn't play that like, okay, well, we're going to try to run the clock, but without scoring to leave them much. Hey, you got to score when you got to score. The Ravens, they led over what, a six, probably nearly a 7-minute drive. I felt like the Lamar and the Ravens offense probably took over the ball possession again with around 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And I think they didn't give the ball to the Chiefs until it was almost like 3 minutes to go, right before the 2-minute warning.
Right.
Because I remember looking up at the drive, clock at the stadium. I think the drive was well over 6 minutes. So, I mean, I knew they were balling. But you have to give a sense of despair and kind of real nervousness when you've seen the Chiefs get the ball back. They're down one. The Ravens missed another two-point crucial point conversion to go up three, so basically prevents a game-winning field goal from the Chiefs. You already knew that you're giving the ball back to Mahomes, a great quarterback, great offense there, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And you had to feel a sense of when the Chiefs were driving past midfield and taking it down with a two-minute warning with Ravens only having one timeout. I mean, we all in the stadium were just like inevitable. Like, we're just waiting for the loss. We're just waiting for this big L. Just give it to us. And then I'm already thinking of like my notes, like, great, this would have been the game of coulda, woulda, shoulda. And it's going to come down to, you should have had your timeouts. And then you probably would have probably either won the game or whatever. The one play that we needed happened. Before I take you through what the stadium reaction was like and being there, because we all know how crazy it was. What are your thoughts on those two timeouts, especially after that first one, when they had the stupid, could have been the stupid penalty of the 12th defensive player on the field because of the time. And then they elected to take the timeout in lieu of the penalty yards. And I think that was the sequential play where, don't get me wrong, but I think that's when the ball was batted down against Tyreek Hill. I can't remember if it was around that same sequence. Again, I got to go back to watch the game, but take me through your thoughts on that, about the timeouts. I mean, were you thinking along the same lines of like, great, and kind of like at that last drive thinking like, where's these timeouts that we needed?
Yeah, with the way that the game had been going that far into the game, I figured that was it. I figured out game over, we're 0-2. Luckily, everyone else in the AFC North didn't have a good weekend, so we're not too far behind. But leading up to that, the whole game, it just felt like mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. And the defense, I felt, was really flat up until the end. You brought up Anthony Averett. He had a great play, but throughout the beginning of that game, before that one great play, I was giving him a lot of crap on Twitter and just being like, this guy can't cut it. I don't know what he's doing. This isn't good. Our secondary's terrible. Our defense is terrible. I just figured that was the nail in the coffin, those double timeouts. I'm like, yeah, we're going to need them at the end. We always do. This is it. This is how we're going to end it. I can't believe we're going to go 0-2. But, you know, to the Ravens' credit, to John Harbaugh's credit as well, man, they played a full 60 minutes and they knew how to finish it. And they kind of proved everybody, including myself, wrong, that you can't ever count this team out. And, hey, they're going to use their timeouts when they need to, and they don't need to save them till the end.
Absolutely, man. And I'm really happy that it didn't cost them. I mean, in hindsight, 2020 right here, it always is 2020. You just got to take care of those timeouts. I mean, sometimes it can be justified calling them mid-game. But, again, I get it. You know, in lieu of taking penalty yards and all that, if it's like a 5-yarder, big deal, right? I just feel like it happens more oftentimes than not, where at the end of the game, you're like, where's your timeouts? And then – you could have won the game if you'd have stopped the clock. it didn't. And I feel like it happened at the first, again, and in the first half against the Raiders, if I recall, we were, I think we either that or in the regulation, we were griping about some form of a timeout where we lost one. So could have happened, but it didn't. But we definitely want to really segue into the most crazy game-changing sequences you'll ever see. I mean, Mahomes was dinking and dunking, passing the ball here and there. Then they decided to hand the ball off.
Mahomes, up until the end, he didn't look threatened in any way by our defense. Anytime that the Ravens were getting a touchdown, they would go out and it would be like high school football for him. He was like, okay, here we go, and I'm going back on the bench.
Exactly. He was very efficient. I mean, it's Patrick Mahomes-like. What can you say? But he did do something wrong. He kind of definitely made a mistake, like Lamar did, pick six, but close. He was trying to avoid a sack, and instead of getting rid of the football, like out of bounds, I guess, or taking the sack, he tried to make that hero play, maybe try to finding a Tyreek Hill-like play, and was like, okay, go get it, and got picked off. And that led to the Ravens' eventual score. So Mahomes did make a mistake late in that game that really turned the tide. Not only that, but that was the first of the two Chiefs turnovers. Then in trying to ice out the game, and I think that obviously they handed off the ball to Clyde Edwards-Helaire to either, number one, to try to gain yardage and burn the clock. At that point, the Chiefs were like, all right, we're going to wind this down, get the game winner out of here and get out of Dodge up 2-0. And all of a sudden, I'm going to share my perspective. Being at the game, you know, obviously I'm all like, beside myself, nervous, and I'm like, here we go. Now we're gonna like, hopefully we, at this point, I'm hoping and praying for like a missed snap or a blocked field goal or a missed field goal at this point. The Chiefs, where I'm sitting in the NFC, and the Chiefs were driving towards my end. So the field goal or eventual field goal attempt would have been towards my end of the stadium. When the ball was handed off, you can definitely tell there was a scrum, and then because like you knew the ball was on the ground, right? Now, when I'm seeing it live, no, I couldn't tell if the running back was down. I didn't know what was going on. So at this point, I'm watching the Ravens players' reactions to like everything and like seeing everything. And then when I seen the eventual Ravens come out with the football and I seen the refs point the other way, bro, the stadium, you probably heard it, went bananas, like electric. Like, cause like it was almost to the point of like, not quite, because this was the playoffs. This was Ray Lewis's last ride, all that jazz. But it reminded me of the Broncos Mile High Miracle game, where kind of like you're already setting up, like we're going to lose. Right. Just kill me now. We're going to lose. And then all of a sudden you're like, what just happened? Like I didn't react for a whole 30 seconds to a minute after Jacoby Jones caught that touchdown, because I'm like, what happened? It was kind of like that same feeling for me. It was like when the fumble hit the ground, I'm thinking, and then of course I'm like, was he down? And I'm like going to Twitter to find out, because I'm like, I'm at the stadium. So I'm like waiting, like, is there flags? Was he down? Like, I want to celebrate. And then I'm like, what's going on? And I'm like, no way. He actually fumbled the ball. Like, we stopped that. And then I'm like, and then of course you celebrate and you're like, holy crap. We just stopped him. And then you had to come to, because then you're like, oh, wait, hold on. The Chiefs have all their timeouts. Like, we actually got to get a first down or they can get the ball back. So then not only did our celebration turn into more anxiousness, because you're like, great, this isn't really over, because that's exactly what happened. We're all celebrating. My dad's like, hey, they got three timeouts. I'm like, oh, thanks for reminding me, man. Like, oh. Then we're all quiet. Now we're all like, what's going to happen? And then we have another 2019 moment of, coach, let's go for it. Remember the Seattle game?
Man, let me tell you one thing. So,
yes, sir.
I'm watching the game, and it's live. I'm not on a delay, anything like that. And they zoom in to Harbaugh. They zoom in to coach, and I mean, it's very evident what he says. And he says, you know, Lamar, do you want to go for this? And then he goes, all right then, and then goes back onto the sideline. I saw that live, and I tweeted it out, and I said, the coach of the Ravens just asked his QB, do you want to go for this? Now, of course, you think Lamar is going to be like, nah, we're good, just punt it. Of course not. He's gonna say, let's go for it. But that's the relationship that Coach Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson have. And that is a recipe for success. to show that much trust into your QB, that you're willing to go for it as the coach. This is why John Harbaugh will be a Hall of Fame coach. I mean, I've always known that, but I think that shows everybody right now just how good of a coach John Harbaugh is. As much as we love to talk about how phenomenal Lamar has been on the field, how much this team does, it all starts with Coach Harbaugh. And I mean, I got taken aback by that, watching that live. I mean, everybody started talking about it once the game was over. But I'll never forget watching that live and seeing the coach of this team go to one of his players and be like, "You want to do this?" Like, that's such good motivation. I want John Harbaugh to give me a motivational speech every time before I go to work. I mean, that's how good of at his job this guy is. It's
absolutely
It is absolutely amazing what he can do, how he can inspire people. But watching that live, I mean, I'm already on the edge of my seat because of the fumble. I mean, I don't know how much further I can get off that edge without falling onto the floor, you know, in my living room watching this game. But that's what I was doing. And I'm like, he just asked Lamar if he wanted to go for it. Like, that's brilliant. What good coaching. And of course Lamar's going to be like, yeah, let's go for it. Because like you said, we saw that in Seattle in 2019. I mean, what a
It was
great...
that same attitude. Like, yes. Let's finish this. Like, let's not lay back. And this is something I want to bring up. I'm glad you brought this up. You know what NFL are, and I always love bringing up the show because it's probably one of my favorites, if not the best show on TV, Good Morning Football. We all know and love and watching it. Something that I want to bring in how that, like, the whole Lamar, let's go for this, and that confidence in your team. I want to bring up something that they brought down, and I'm talking about the Good Morning Football guys. The morning after this past week's Thursday night game against it was Washington and the Giants, Chris Carter was one of their guests, host on the show, and him and obviously Peter Schrager got into it. Because obviously we understand that Chris Carter is a future Hall of Famer. He is a current Hall of Famer and a former player, obviously. So we respect and value his opinion. You know what they got into it about? And it was awesome.
What's that?
If you remember the Thursday night sequence, if you don't, here's what happened. The Giants had the ball. And instead of going for the jugular, which they felt like that's what the Giants should have done, they took 16 seconds off the clock. Basically made Washington use all three timeouts. They kicked the field goal, gave Washington the ball back, and we know what happened. Eventually, Washington went down the field and kicked the game-winning field goal. And their point on the show was the Giants played not to win the game. They basically played to lose. Instead of, like, playing for the win and going for the jugular, they played it safe. They were just playing just to get by, playing not to lose. They were just like, okay, we're not going to win the game, so we're just going to do the bare minimum, and that's it. And then give them the ball. And a lot of times in the Ravens' history, if we felt like they lacked that killer instinct, you know, you hear it all the time back when Brady was in this, and I feel like Brady's still in his prime. So we shouldn't say Brady in his prime in the Patriots, but how many times have you seen the Patriots do it? They always go full throttle. They never let up. They just go, they come at you. They're relentless. And a lot of times you always wonder, like, when the Ravens lack that confidence, that swagger, that killer instinct, like, you know what? We're going to go for it. You're going to stop us, and we're going to dare you to. And you saw it again in 19 when they had that miraculous run, the 12 straight wins, the 14-2 season, the MVP season, where it was like, let's go. And for the second time in two seasons, for the coach to trust his quarterback with that on the line saying, you know what, let's go for it, that's the stuff that makes the great ones. That's why Mahomes is great. That's why Brady's great. That's why you see these great quarterbacks do what they do, because you know why? They keep the guys on the field going, no, you're going to go win it for us. Not only that, but Lamar's number was called. They didn't hand it off to Tyson Williams. They didn't hand it off to Latavius Murray. They didn't throw it to Mark Andrews. Lamar called his own number for 2 yards, got the first down, iced the win. Electric. It was fitting, and that's how you beat these good teams. This is how you put that exclamation point, the proverbial nail in the coffin, and say that's how you close out the game. You don't play the percentages and punt at the ball and go, okay, let's trust our defense. I feel like the Ravens old teams did that. They would have punted the ball and then, oh, let's hold on for a win. I felt like, and again, I know it's a totally different set of circumstances with the Raiders game, because we saw them kick the eventual, what we thought was the game winner with 30 something seconds left. then the Raiders went right down the field and diced us up and kicked one of their own. So, you know, maybe you can take lessons from that, saying maybe the Ravens lack killer instinct there and maybe should have taken all the time off the clock. I don't know. I mean, you can't play it any much better than that to kick an eventual game winner with 30 seconds left on the clock, but that's beside the point. That's, again, we already know we lost that game. It is what it is in the past, but for that sequence to happen the way it did again shows you that I feel like this team's going to be okay. Still with all the problems, it could be much worse. They beat the kryptonite, the proverbial kryptonite. Remember?
Did you hear what Lamar said about the kryptonite?
Yeah, he said, I only said that once. Yeah, yeah. Hey, but that's all it takes. Yeah. That's all it takes. And I mean, but it's what it was. I mean, coming in before the fumble, we were on the verge of going 0-4 against this team under Lamar. You're like, great, we can't beat them. Here they go. We did 30-something points on the board. It's still isn't enough. My buddy thought we had to score 42 against them. I mean, and the way the game was going, we were basically about right. Whoever's going to get possession last is going to win this game. I mean, invalid. But not only that, but segueing into the end of the game, the play of the game, how about Odafeowe? He earned AFC Defensive Player of the Week honors.
He did.
He had one tackle for loss, one QB hit that led to the interception. That was the play. He had a forced fumble and the fumble recovery. So he was on both the Chiefs' turnovers. Not only that, but this is his 2 weeks. He's a rookie, so this is his two games, primetime, away and home, two primetime games. 7 QB pressures, 3 QB hits, one leading to the Mahomes pick, 1 sack, 5 solo tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 1 forced fumble and fumble recovery that saved the game.
Now you see, I brought up last week how everyone that I expected to be great against the Raiders was great. There was nobody that really jumped out and surprised me. There was nobody that really, you know, broke that glass ceiling and kind of broke through to the other side. I was waiting for somebody from this draft class to kind of show up and do their thing. And that is exactly what Owe did up against the Chiefs. Would I have liked to have seen more of him in the Raiders game? Sure, absolutely. But, you know, like we said, this has been still a weird preseason and a weird offseason with the COVID restrictions and everything like that. So maybe it is just taking a little bit more time for these rookies to kind of get acclimated to their new surroundings. But Owe definitely 100% showed up on Sunday. He was there when we needed him in that important part of the game. I mean, he turned the tide of the entire game, probably the entire season, because, I mean, we were writing it off. You know, I joked with you at the end of last show. So what do we think about the draft this year? You know, I was kind of cracking up about that. So Owe, he showed up on this defense. He showed that he can be a Raven. He can play in the big leagues. He's definitely a force to be reckoned with, and he was written off by a lot of people because he didn't have, I think the last two seasons at Penn State weren't great for him. So for him to come in and do what he's doing and get Defensive Player of the Week, only his second game in the league, that's a big deal.
Absolutely, man. It's certainly a big deal. You started the show by asking me, like, how was it being back at the stadium? How was it? This is probably where I'm going to get emotional on the show, and rightfully so. We understand that 2020 was a crazy year for all of us. Like, we couldn't go to the stadium. We couldn't do a lot of things. And to be back finally after a season like that is remarkable. To see, you know, full Colorado State, full NFL stadium is awesome. You know, we're back to what we love doing, going to football games, tailgating. But I've been highly critical, especially, and it isn't because of, like, the COVID year, but even in 2019, you know, there was, and we understand a lot of uncertainty with a lot of people's feelings with NFL and sports and everything. I've been critical of NFL games because of the atmosphere has gone away. And it's no secret that once we've seen college football come back roaring this year, how the college atmosphere, I don't know, Brandon, if you've been to college games, but seeing it on TV and you've seen some of the posts about it, how about the Wisconsin jump around, the way they do things there, the whiteout game at Penn State, 100,000 fans, you know, shaking pom-poms and one in unison and wearing all white for the team. It's a sight to behold. And my guys, we had a great conversation in our group chat because since college football has come back around and the fans have been solely missed, the atmosphere, you certainly tell sports in general, whether it's sports entertainment or sports, fans are needed. That's a given because it just makes the game, right? But I've been highly critical of this, and it's a fact, and it was a true saying that NFL, they lack in that experience versus the college because the college atmosphere is just way better. It's a way better game. I wanted to experience that. You just got to go, right? And to be back there and the way the game was Sunday night, it felt like playoff atmosphere in week two. It felt electric. And I want to read you a statement from Harbaugh. I saved it. By the way, his postgame speech was probably top four in my book.
Can I get go for it on a t-shirt, please? I want
We need
one.
That. Or yeah. Good. But between his good speech in 2019 yeah. or 18, it was 18, Lamar's first game. And the let's go for it. I mean, my gosh. But this is what he said. Because someone asked me about how like that game was and how was it to be at that kind of game. I'm going to read the statement and share with you my perspective. And I also want to hear yours. You know, it doesn't matter if you were at the game or not. You know, we all had a part in experiencing this, whether it's on TV or in live. He said about this, and this is Harbaugh quoting, "We had great wins around here, but I don't think we've had one bigger than that. I don't think we've ever had. Here's what I love about that win. It ain't perfect. It's not pretty, but it's us. It's us. That's the Ravens. We know it. That's the Ravens." And we've always said that. It's never easy. It's never pretty. It's us. And I don't know. And I think we're allowed to be critical. You know, when the Ravens, this is why we do. We break down the game. When Lamar makes mistakes, we're allowed to scrutinize. I mean, but is any football game perfect? No. Lamar can't go out and throw a perfect passer rating every single game. It's not going to happen. I mean, Tom Brady don't even do that. He's great. He's awesome. Great. He's the go-to goats. But there's times Tom Brady screws up. I mean, I saw Peyton Manning throw 6 picks in one game and win a game. I don't know how it's possible, but it happened. You know, players are allowed to make mistakes. I mean, look at Aaron Rodgers, 17-year vet, and he had his worst game of his career in week one. I mean, Lamar, I'm glad he's only in his fourth year. I mean, you can be critical, yeah, but also learn to praise him when he does good. But not only that, but I want to talk about the atmosphere when he saw about that, because someone actually asked me, and you heard a lot of fans say it, that was probably the greatest game I've ever been to. I've been to some doozies. I was at Ray Lewis's Last Dance. I put this in the top – I probably put this in definitely top three of my personal experiences being at Ravens games for the first time in a while. It made me fall back in love with football. It made me fall back in love – with why we do what we do, why you go to games, why you go to tailgating, why do you root for this kind of team? Why do you get involved in football in the first place? Why? And I'm hoping this continues, whether the Ravens have a bad year this year or a good year, I don't know. But I'm hoping that the Monday night atmosphere can be the same. I'm hoping that all the 1 o'clock home games can be the same atmosphere. The way the fans were, I don't want the flock to let me down, but we need to be like that every home game. And I don't know why we can't. And it's disappointing that it's been a lackluster experience for the last few years. And I, being a season ticket holder, I've experienced it. You know, there's been some home games where I've been at and I'm like all fired up. And I'm like, why don't y'all stand up on third down? Why aren't y'all getting crazy? Why do you guys still have your voices? Like, what do you got? Like, come on, like get out of your phones. Who cares about your fantasy team? Ravens games on. Like, let's root on this team. Why do you go to games if you're not going to get involved? Like, I've always been critical of that. And, bro, I tried to record it, and I guess I was so in the moment, I didn't record the reaction. I've never heard – I didn't even hear fan reaction like this after the Ray Lewis Last Dance playoff game. When we won and we exited the stadium in one accord – you know how we do the infamous,
the 7-8
the whole way down the stairs. And then you hear, you hear that, then that fades away. Then everybody chants MVP, MVP. And then you hear, and you go away from that. Then all of a sudden out of nowhere, a roar erupts and everybody's like, yeah. And then you hear it just building. We got out into the stadium grounds, like outside the M&T Bank Stadium. And I'm watching everybody walk down the ramp and collectively it just gets louder. People start cheering, and then you just hear it collectively get louder. and I was walking all the way past out to the stadium across the bridge. You can still hear fans yelling. I haven't heard that reaction post game in a while. People were still fired up. Like, and seeing that montage of fan reactions and like how it was in the stadium, finally beating this team, you would think the Ravens just won the AFC title at home. Like, it was that atmosphere, that caliber. I want to bottle that up forever. That's what I'm talking about. To me, that was priceless. And what was it like for you in the moments and coming in one and seeing the flock like that and on TV? Did you get that same sense of urgency from the crowd and like how spectacular the stadium was and how electric it was? I mean, what was your sense on that?
It was magical. I mean, like you said, this last been like 18, 19 months? It's been really rough for a lot of people out there. I mean, there's a lot going on in the world, in this country, and there's not a lot for us to root for right now. But this is what it's all about. Like, not even just football, but getting together and rallying around each other and cheering and all that. I mean, there hasn't been much to smile about. And I think everyone coming into this game, you know, counting me as well, I didn't think this team was going to be able to do anything. I didn't think they were going to be able to beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. So for them to be able to come out, play that full 60 minutes, I mean, it was a surprise, but it was so enjoyable. And I watched the one preseason game we got in Baltimore, and I saw that stadium kind of half empty or half full, depending on how you want to look at it. And I was kind of let down. I mean, given I was not one of the people there, I didn't want to go. But actually, I couldn't go. I had something else going on, but I don't remember. But, you know, it was the place was empty. And I'm like, man, this is what it's come to. We can't even fill the stadium up anymore. So to see everybody at that regular season game, to see everybody being rowdy and you know, being able to scream with each other and do all that. I mean, that was such a wonderful feeling. I mean, you and I and a buddy of mine, Dom, we got to go to a Fozzie concert. I mean, all that kind of stuff was taken away from us for a year and a half. So it's great. Like, the football games last year, I mean, they were good games, don't get me wrong, but there's nothing like that live experience. There's nothing like that live crowd. You need that energy. You need the roar. Yeah, you can watch it on TV and they can play some crowd noise and just fill it in. It's not the same.
No.
It's just not the same. It's just there's too much that's different. So I think that this is something that Baltimore really needed. I think it's something that we as fans needed. I mean, just having something to on TV to watch and be a part of, you know, I love the hearing about you tailgating, and I love going out and going to see the playmakers throughout the week and doing all that kind of stuff, being a part of the team. Yeah. You and I are fans and you know, however many fans are in M&T Bank Stadium. Yeah. We're all fans, but this team especially makes us feel as if we're a part of the team, you know?
I think the time off really put it in perspective on how much you could really miss something like that.
Right.
You know, and, you know, some people, it's not their cup of tea. You know, it's okay. You can watch on TV. Who cares? You know, you can watch however you want. Not saying you have to go to games, but, you know, it's for a certain crowd. But, you know, but to see the familiar faces and to just celebrate as one, and to, like, the excitement, seeing the excitement on everybody's face and, like, seeing how – just how it was at the stadium where, especially in the fourth quarter where, okay, it's third down, Mahomes gets under center, and you just seen everybody. You know what was even awesome? I think it was when they changed the quarters. I think it was the first of the second quarter, and the Chiefs were pinned back, and they flipped to the other side of the field. You know what we all got excited about? I said, they're coming in at our end. Let's get crazy. And you can see on third down, my whole upper section, you can see everybody just rise up as one. And then right. Obviously, hey, for the first time on a Monday, I didn't have a voice. And that was awesome.
Yeah,
it took me a couple of days to get it back. It was bad. Yeah, it was real bad. So I absolutely enjoyed that. I mean, I just miss being a part of that. And that's something I've always prided myself on, just being there live. Again, you can watch it on TV all day and if that's your cup of tea, there's nothing wrong with that, man. Just to hear the roar when Ray come out, you get the excitement when they do the whole, the lights going down and Metallica plays and you get everybody involved. You know, when they played that whole train episode, again, that video and you know, the whole every decibel counts and this is why you're here kind of deal. And everybody got loud and stood up. It was ridiculous. Like, it's just, again, the Ravens have done a top-notch job of beefing up their kind of production and being there at the games and all that. And it just made me personally fall back in love with doing all that over again. And like, let's hope that vibe continues. And again, with that comes winning. Obviously we understand if the Ravens fall flat on their face and they're looking bleak, you know, that goes away a little bit and we get that, but the Ravens carry that momentum and carry the torch and keep the winning ways and keep the momentum going, you know, in their next two games, we get it. Lions and Broncos. Broncos are right now 2-0 before week three, but Ravens have two away games before that. If they can take care of business and be 3-1 to come home and play the Colts, depending on, you know, the outcome of that game with Carson Wentz's injury, I mean, dude, the Ravens could really make some damage here and really make an impact come on in a football, can really come out firing. And they have an opportunity in front of them. But, I mean, again, to be there, the electricity, that kind of game, never forget that for the rest of my life. And a lot of people were doing the same thing. Like, how was it to be that game? I was like, a lot of people are saying it was my favorite game to ever be a part of. And I'm like, apart from the Ray Lewis Last Dance game, this is probably number two on the list for me. Because, I mean, nothing can top my first playoff game and to be there in that kind of atmosphere of Ray Lewis's Last Dance to spark a playoff run and a second title. There's been some doozy regular season games in my life that I've been to. Some crazy Raven-Steeler bouts, Thanksgiving night game. The two Thanksgiving night games are top five for me. But this Chiefs win, Sunday Night Football, they kick off a home opener after a long layoff like that. And I've always said this. Remember, I told you this long time ago, when the Ravens' first ever home game is after the pandemic, look out. This is why it was special. This is why it was circled. And I don't know if it was that magic and it was coupled with it was the Chiefs and we finally won and how the game was, but let's just hope we can bottle that and carry it over to every team. And it's kind of like my challenge to the flock going forward. It's carrying the momentum, carrying the torch. If you guys are going to spend the money to go to tailgating, to be at the games, be present, you know, be all in, go all in, be present. My buddy, Chris, God bless him. He's serving over in Kosovo right now in the military, can't go to games this year. He's been communicating with us on Facebook. He's all right. You know, God bless him, what he does in serving our country. Shout out to him, man. Miss you, buddy. But, and he's done a couple of flyovers for the Ravens, by the way. So shout out to him. You know, he misses going here, but he's as passionate as anybody going to the games. And, you know, we've always said, you got to bring it. You got to be all in or don't come. And it's kind of like where I'm at this point. You know, it was a special night, but kind of let's bottle that and carry the momentum forward. Cause it can be a special place. And, if it can be that awesome, and just seeing the fan reaction in that video montage, just think about every home game like that. It can be just as awesome. And again, I know wins play a lot of part in that because obviously the Ravens don't do well at home and come out in the losing end or they kind of stink it up. You know, obviously the excitement's not there, but it can be. And that's certainly something I certainly wanted to bring to the table with the experience of going to that kind of game. And again, I don't know. Again, could it be charged up because it was the first game? But man, was it special. Was it special?
So let's say, yeah, absolutely. It was definitely special. It was a wonderful thing to see, and I can't wait to see what they have planned next for the bank. But looking forward to the next game coming up on Sunday, an actual Sunday afternoon game. I don't know if the Ravens are going to be used to this.
Are we
going to
get
anymore.
Used to this?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
It's like, it's not prime time. Weird.
Yeah, we're going to be playing in daylight, but they're going to be up in Detroit in Motor
Indoors.
City.
Indoors. So technically daylight.
Yeah. But go ahead.
Speaking of, I wanted to kind of start that. I'm glad you brought that up. Ford Field. You remember, what happened the last time the Ravens went up to Ford Field? Yours truly was there. What happened? It was a primetime game.
Yeah, it was. We had Legatron, the birth of Legatron.
61 yarder, baby.
Yeah.
I was there for that. I remember that, the Monday night game. I never forget the reaction. That was, oh, yeah.
He got dubbed Dr. Pepper at that point, I believe.
That's right. That's right. Remember that? Yeah. So, yes, it's not the exact anniversary of Legatron because I think this was what, late season at that point? I think it was like November or December at that point. But yes, that the last time the Ravens ventured to Ford Field, it was on a primetime game instead of a 1 o'clock game. And that was a 61 yarder. I am not going to Ford Field this time, but it's just fun to talk about. But it is it just puts perspective the last time the Ravens were in Detroit, how fun that was.
Right.
Hopefully it's the same outcome, but not as much of a nail biter this time, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Let's hope it's not as much as a nail biter. But this one, hopefully it won't be as rough for the Ravens as the first 2 weeks were. Detroit, though, is a brand new team, very different than the team that they saw so many years ago on that Monday night. A new quarterback, new coach. So it's going to be a little bit of a different atmosphere in Detroit. But this is definitely a game I see the Ravens being able to win. I think that Lamar should be able to show off his arm a little bit more. Their secondary in Detroit is a little beat up, so I'd like to see what he can do with the wide receivers a little bit more. Let's see, have him and Sammy Watkins get a little bit more acclimated. And we didn't bring this up either. We should, though. Hollywood Brown was on Good Morning Football earlier this week, and Kay Adams said, why should people stop doubting the Ravens? And Hollywood Brown said, because we got Lamar Jackson. That's why. So they all have faith in their quarterback, but I want to see Lamar throw to these wide receivers a little bit more, and I want to see him get Mark Andrews more involved. Mark Andrews had a somewhat quiet first 2 weeks of his season, so let's see Mark Andrews get a little bit more involved like we had seen in the past. And then looking on the defensive side of the ball, you know, this will be a really good game for the defense to pressure the quarterback. They have Jared Goff now in Detroit. Let's see how much they can get to him. And let's see what our secondary can do as well. Because they've been kind of shown that they're not the greatest when they were up against Patrick Mahomes. So let's see what they can do against Jared Goff. So
absolutely. Especially against the same defense, Aaron Rodgers just threw four or five touchdowns on him the other night, didn't he?
Right, yeah.
I think four, if I'm not recalling. So, yeah, I mean, but don't get me wrong. This Lions team, even though they're 0-2, they've actually been feisty these last two games.
Yeah, they have not rolled over.
Now, granted, it could have gone either way, but they played the 49ers in week one. Remember, it was 41-17. With like a few minutes left in the game in the fourth quarter, ended up being an 8-point loss for the Lions. So they were scrappy in that game, but still lost. Then they came out firing against a Packers team who again came out flat on Monday Night Football. They came out were up 7-0. Then it was 14-14. The Lions actually had a 17-14 halftime lead on Monday Night Football, but then we know the rest. The Packers scored 21 unanswered points and route to a 35-17 win on Monday night. But the Lions offense actually has been a little scrappy with newcomer Jared Goff. As we know, the Rams and the Lions have switched quarterbacks and both teams have taken off in different directions. We know the Rams, obviously, with the former Lions quarterback are now 2-0. And we know the Lions are 0-2 with newly quarterback Jared Goff, with his new head coach, Dan Campbell. But Dan Campbell's got this team playing scrappy. And again, no matter what the records are, I mean, the Ravens are only one game better than the Lions at this point for 2 weeks in the season. The season's very, very young. Can't discount a Lions team. You know, obviously all signs point to a Ravens winning this one. They take care of what they do best on the road and get a good first road win for the team this year. But they got to do everything you said. I like to see more involvement with Mark Andrews. Lamar's done a good job so far getting Hollywood Brown involved. And it could be that maybe Mark Andrews with commanding too much attention that Hollywood's gotten a few more looks, who knows. But we know that Mark Andrews just got his big payday. He's well deserving of it. He's a top flight tight end in the league. But we know he has to do more things than not only go out and run routes and catch passes. He's run block. He had a great block on that Lamar touchdown run with the one that Lamar basically just walked right in the end zone and flipped. You know, he sealed off the linebacker. So, you know, we know and understand these tight ends on this team are asked to do different things other than just going out and running the routes.
Right.
And catching touchdowns and catching passes and racking up the yardage. But you're right. I want to see him more involved. I really like to see the health of this team. I want to see what the progress and the prognosis is of Ronnie Stanley this week. I want to see if Jimmy Smith is progressing to return. I like to see some of these Ravens get more involved. And also on the line, I love them to keep veiling the wave on the left side, please. I know that's probably why, because of Stanley's out, but
he really did shine.
He cannot go back on that right side. If he goes back on that right side, I might not watch the game. It can't happen. I'm going to be furious if he goes back on the right side. They better not. But you got to give kudos to that. And also, and don't get me remiss, I know we get away from our segment, someone to rave about, but what about the running back room? These guys are running. Devonta Freeman had a great run on Sunday night. Can't discount that. Latavius Murray, Tyson Williams running hard.
Murray was on a press conference, I think, earlier on Wednesday, and it was hysterical because he said, I'm so new here. I don't know everybody's name yet on the team. So I've just been being like, hey, man, what's up? So
that's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what's up? What's up, man? What's up, guys?
So he doesn't even know everybody's name. Yeah.
Hey, but again, got to credit. But it's remarkable, isn't it? The Ravens, after 2 weeks, they lost all three of their running backs on the depth chart, remade their whole running back room, and they've almost amassed 500 total yards as a team in 2 weeks. Like,
it's excelling. It's crazy.
That's what I'm telling you. It's almost like, I'm not saying like, who cares about Dobbins and Edwards? Like, yeah, we'd love to have those guys back. But I'm like, round of applause to the guys that are getting it done. And the offensive line. I told you remember when we talked about the injuries and I said I was more concerned about the Peters injury than I was the running back. This is why.
Right.
Like, you kidding me right now? Like, who'd have thought the Ravens would be leading the league in rushing with these guys in the room? Again, you don't want to discount what they're doing, but holy crap, like, what's going on? That's awesome, isn't it? Like,
that, yeah,
it just almost shows you it could be a system thing. Like, I don't know, but the Ravens have a recipe for running the football and they do it well. And Lamar leading the charge with 2 rushing touchdowns, but yeah, they just got to get back to, you know what, I really want to see in this game, no turnovers by Lamar. That's what's going to show me some progression. All right, you got your fumbles on control. The fumbles turn into interceptions. How about let's turn the interceptions into nothing? How about that? Let's not spot the team points. Let's not give the ball away. But, hey, let's do something. Let's create turnovers. The Ravens forced fumble and got an interception. I want to see the Ravens kind of turn that organized chaos recipe around. I want the Ravens to take care of the football, and I want the defense to do some takeaways. It's not much to ask, is it?
Not at all.
I don't think so. But I like to see what the health of the Lions offense does this week. We understand that their number one receiver, former Charger Tyrell Williams, is now on the Lions offense, leading the Chargers receiving corps. He was out this past Monday. I'd like to see the prognosis there for one of their weapons to come back to see, because obviously that means they got to rely on Monra St. Brown, their rookie receiver, a big receiver there. They got to rely on Quintez Cephus. Cephus had almost a crazy circus catch on Monday night. He had a touchdown. Cephus has had 2 touchdowns in 2 games. So Quintez Cephus on the Lions, look out for that name. So he's emerged out of there. They have a 1-2 punch in DeAndre Swift, who's quick, who's very elusive, and a Jamal Williams, a former Packer, who provides some relief with DeAndre Swift. So the Lions offense should not be taken lightly. I'm not going to sit there and say, okay, the Ravens should run rug shot on this team. Obviously, their weak point is their defense, but the Lions can certainly have potent a score. They put over 30 points on the board against the 49ers, and they basically, I mean, they only put up 17 points in 1 half against the Packers, but they came out swinging against the Packers and went right down the field on several occasions. So certainly not taking this team lightly, but I don't see the Ravens carrying any form of hangover to this game. I see Ravens carrying momentum from the win against the Chiefs on Sunday night and taking that huge win, carrying the momentum on the road. And I can certainly see the Ravens take care of business with a win here on Sunday.
I definitely can see the Ravens coming away with the win. Like you said, they're not going to roll over. Detroit is not going to – it's not going to be a pushover. But I do think that the Ravens, you know, I don't think Lamar is going to be sitting in the fourth quarter. I'll say that. I don't see him on the sideline being done for the day.
Not yet. Not yet.
Yeah, but I think that the Ravens will be able to come away with a win. Let's everything you brought up. Let's have Lamar focus on his game a little bit better. No turnovers, nothing like that. No interceptions, and let's make sure everybody's healthy. This I loved what I saw from the offensive line this game completely, night and day compared to week one. So let's keep that going. Whatever worked on Sunday night up against the Chiefs, keep that going because it worked. It absolutely worked. So let's keep that going. Ben Cleveland got his first start. I'm glad to see that happen. Like you said, Villanueva, where he is now, obviously he's comfortable and he's happy where he's at. Keep him there because it worked. But hey, I think that might be the show. Anything else you want to talk about for today's episode?
Just want to reiterate, keep an eye on the injury report this week. I love to see about the health of Deshaun Elliott. We understand he went into the protocols of concussion. He left the game, exited the game with a concussion. We got some banged up Ravens that we're hoping that we can return to the ranks here. Justin Houston did not participate. It's pretty much rest. Ronnie Stanley's ankle did not participate. Villanueva did not participate. It's rest. Brandon Williams is listed as neck, did not participate. Derek Wolfe did not participate. Tavion Young with a knee did not participate. Then we have Marquise Brown and Jimmy Smith actually had limited participation this week. So
there's definitely some interesting names on there, but probably the only one that really makes me worried here is Deshaun Elliott. Him with a concussion, you never know what'll happen with a concussion. But Marquise, he's been kind of taking in limited practices, I mean, throughout his entire training camp, so that doesn't really surprise me. And Jimmy Smith, you never know. Never know with Jimmy Smith.
Never know. Never know. And until further notice, we know Wolf probably won't play.
Yeah. I mean, that's just his thing. So,
come on, boy. Let's get you on the field.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, yeah, we kind of let the cow bag predict the Ravens win. What do you think the score is going to be?
I can see Ravens 27, Lions. Let's go 17.
27-17. Okay. Okay.
What about you?
I'm going to slightly alter it. 30-14 Ravens.
30-14. All right. So you see a little bit more of a getaway.
Okay. I do a little bit. I do.
I can dig that.
I think we're not going to have a nail biter. Let's hope not. Let's hope the Ravens can actually take care of business. And I feel like in this game, they're going to get out early and stay out in front and go wire to wire with the win, staying out in front with the lead and ending it with the victory. But, again, just got to put all the game plan in perspective, but feeling confident, especially now that I understand that the Ravens, took care of business against the Chiefs. They're for real. They were a couple crazy plays away from being 2-0. Not only that, but I just want to wrap things up and put it in perspective. How crazy of an impact is the Chiefs' loss? And I'm just going to share with you why. With the Ravens ending the weekend, and obviously we know the Monday Night Football was the NFC matchup divisional with the Lions and Packers. With the Ravens taking care of business on Sunday night, that means the AFC North are all tied up at 1-1. We understand that the Raiders took care of business against the Pittsburgh Steelers, handed them a loss at home. We understand that the Browns took care of business against the Texans, even though the Texans were – they pretty much were right there. And we understand the Bengals – faltered under a few mistakes under Burrow. They're all now the AFC North is 1-1, but just put this in perspective. The Chiefs lost to the Ravens, now 1-1. The Raiders and Broncos lead the AFC West at 2-0. Two surprises. For the first time under Mahomes, the Kansas City Chiefs are not leaders of the AFC West. They are behind them. So the ramifications of that win and loss, because you figure if the Ravens would have lost, they're 0-2, last place in the division, one game behind everybody else. And then the AFC West would have had three 2-0 teams. So, and just think about it this. How many times did the Ravens loss against the Chiefs you know, it's a huge AFC win, right? But puts in perspective for it could be a seeding issue, or it could be a situation where what the Ravens seed this team again in the playoffs, what if the game's here versus Arrowhead? You just don't know the impacts of that game. So just want to kind of wrap things up there and kind of put in perspective of putting the Chiefs win to bed and celebrating that, but also recognizing the impact of what it could be. It's amazing. And it's almost like I'm not willing to let go of that win, but isn't it just great to finally celebrate a win against this team of this caliber and a win of that magnitude? Like, they finally exercised it. They finally did it. And it's almost like, again, we understand you can be still critical of Lamar with the turnovers and take care of the football, reading the defenses and all that, but it's almost like, what more are the haters going to chew on now? He just did the whole, oh, he can't come from behind. Well, he just did it twice against the same team in the same night. He just beat his buddy Mahomes, who he couldn't beat after three tries. So, hey, I say haters keep on coming.
All right, Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
Absolutely, Brandon. Quote, the Raven never mur.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
Now go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. And we're posting the show there. If you are having issues with the Apple Podcast app, we posted the last week's episode, the full thing, right up there on our Facebook page. So, hey, you know, if you want to listen to it on Facebook, you got the option to do so. Now we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok. Anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that's it for the show this week. Josh, we're going up to Detroit, Motor City, baby. Get us ready. Take us out the way you always do.
Absolutely, man. And maybe I should do the Eminem intro. Mom's spaghetti, nervous, looks calm and ready. Yeah, lose yourself. Well, how about let we get lost up in Detroit with a fun win on Sunday? That's what the goal is, because that sure was fun on Sunday night. And I know the Ravens flock, some of us are already planning to go to the Motor City to carry the momentum on the Ravens side and root the Ravens hard on the flock road trip. I know some of my people that were sitting around me for season tickets for the Chiefs game that sit in my section, I found out they're going to Detroit. So wish them safe travels and enjoy the game up there. And I know I had some fun up in Detroit the last time the Ravens were in town there. And hopefully you all do too. And hope it's something special, like a 61-yarder again. That was fun. And again, we hope it's not that close, not that exciting, but in fashion. And we really hope that the Ravens can certainly take care of business and right all the wrongs, as we said, and really take care of business against the Lions, come out 2-1 win this first of two straight road games coming back home before they go back out west to Denver. But they got to go up north and take care of business and their neighbors to the north of Detroit Lions. So definitely been a fun week. But unfortunately, all good things have to come to an end as far as celebrating that win. And there has to be another game to be played. And we understand that there's more fun to be had this season. And certainly got to carry the Ravens get on the victory on Sunday. So we certainly want to root them hard here in Charm City, wherever you may be watching. And if you are making a trip, root hard there as well. And we love to hear you and root on the Ravens hard. So with that being said, how about it, Ravens Nation? Let's rise to the occasion. Let's root this team hard against the Lions on Sunday. Baltimore Ravens, let's get ready to fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.